This conference will now be recorded. This conference will now be recorded.
Okay, we should be good, I guess.
Okay, so we'll bring the meeting to order on the February meeting of the Pines and Plains Library Trustees. roll call. It appears as though we have Karen Sessions, Sessions? Bela?
Oh, here.
Ruth Ann?
Here.
And Susan, obviously. And Lori Van Court. Okay, and Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer.
I'm also here.
Oh, sorry, Al. I didn't see your beautiful face, so.
Well, it's you just hear my voice. That's all you can. That's all the camera will handle.
Okay, so we do have a quorum, and we can start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Does somebody want to lead that?
Hang on a second. Let me get the flag up. I actually found a picture of the flag. There you go.
That's wonderful.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag,
of the United
States of America.
And to the Republic.
For which it stands.
One nation.
Under God,
liberty
and justice for all.
Liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
Okay.
That little thing there that happens is called latency. And it's the reason I think we don't usually do the pledge when we're doing a visual like this. But okay, that said. Has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda?
More or less.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions about items on that?
Yes.
No. Okay.
What is the Robert's Rule review?
That is something that I added in that I'm just going to throw in that I'm suggesting, since we are going to stumble around with me as the president, that in order to keep or help me be on track, et cetera, I'm going to pass out. I was going to pass them out tonight. Cheat sheets for Robert's Rules of Order.
Awesome. Yeah. I was hoping that that was all that was. Thank
That's
you.
All it does to help us whenever we get into one of those. Okay, what are we supposed to do that we actually can look down at the sheet? And it's a pretty good one.
Okay,
so we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. Okay, so can I have a motion to accept the agenda?
I move we accept the agenda.
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Being no opposition, the agenda is accepted. Alan? You're up with the treasurer's report.
And
okay,
I apologize.
I'm going to read.
Okay, good. You've got that. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to read from what Susan sent me on our deal. The Bank of the West, the current balance with the Bank of the West in our money market deal there is $588,787.11. The interest earned was $6.04. The only transaction that account had in the last month is we transferred $126,000 to the community bank to cover bills until the next property taxes come in. The Bank of Oklahoma checking account balance is $21,984.05, and that includes the deduction for a $2 service charge, and our interest earned is 37 cents. We're just getting filthy rich here. Community Bank of Colorado, the payroll account, we have $66,000 in the balance, and the payroll and the payroll taxes, they are being deducted today, so I do not have what the balance is left after those deductions are done. The Community Bank of Colorado, the money market account, we have $803,593.45 with interest earned of $170.59. The Community Bank of Colorado, the regular checking account, has $196,813, no, and there's 0 cents, and that is a non-interest bearing deal, so there are no service charges for that account. I do have one note here. I talked to Susan about this earlier, but I am trying to get the money market account changed around at the Bank of the West, and because of the way the rules are with a public funds entity, what happens there is to get a better interest rate, which will be 2%, I need to open up a new account of new money. So what I'm going to ask the board is to authorize a deduction of $10,000 from the Community Bank of Colorado checking account. And then we need a transaction paper for that transaction. And then I will open up a new account at the Bank of the West. And then before the end of the month, I will then transfer $700,000 from the Bank of the Community Bank of Colorado to that account, which will draw 2%. And then after the first of the month, I will then transfer, I will close out the first Bank of the West account, which has the $588,787.11 in it. I will close that account and transfer that amount back to the Community Bank of Colorado money market account, so that that will be earning the interest there. It will be close to it won't be quite the $800,000, but we'll have both money market accounts earning maximum interest in two separate banks. It's kind of a weird way to do things, but because of the laws between the banks about new money, what they pay on interest for a public utility deal, I have to do this as three transactions, transferring the money back and forth. Is that clear as mud?
Yeah.
Very much.
So what's going to happen is we're going to tomorrow morning. I'm hoping Susan will be able to make it in, and we'll need to get three transaction papers done. One of which will be for the $10,000, which we're going to institute that deal tomorrow after I get the transaction sheet signed and a check, two signatures on the check. And then I'll go down at 10:30, 11 o'clock to get the first part of this triple transaction started and done so that I can move the other money to that account bearing, which will bear 2% interest, and then wait until after the first of the month to complete the transaction transfer to close the one at Bank of West and transfer that money back to the community bank. So it'll end up, we'll have a $710,000 bank account money market at Bank of the West drawing 2%. And then we'll have the two accounts, actually three accounts at community bank, the payroll, the checking account, and the money market account will be back at community bank. Plus we'll have the Bank of Oklahoma checking account. That clear to everybody?
No. Go ahead, Susan.
What's the question?
My question is that I mentioned this to Mary Ellen, and she was a little bit worried because we have already, we had to do some special money movements because of the new Paylocity payroll account that we opened at the Community Banks of Colorado. So she was wondering if maybe we ought to wait until after we received our first tax payment from the county before we did something like this. But I don't, just putting that out there.
This is Karen. I would need some sort of listing for what Alan just said I don't even know how to phrase it, like step ABC. But yeah. Susan brings up a good point that maybe if it does have a bad impact or a consequential impact, maybe we should wait.
Okay, well, they're going to be disappointed, but
we could
do it later.
We could take it out of a different, I mean, if we take it out of our Community Bank of Colorado, our regular checking account, that is where we're it's a little bit risky. But if we took it out of like the Community Bank of Colorado money market account, could we take it out of that?
Sure. It doesn't matter where it comes out. It needs to be new. What Bank of the West would call new money, i.e. it is money that is not in their system already. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It just, I mean, if we had a check deal on the Bank of Oklahoma, I could take it out of that deal. It doesn't matter where it comes from. It just can't come from Bank of the West, i.e. that money market account that's there already. It has to come from one of the accounts, i.e. either the Community Bank of Colorado account or the Bank of Oklahoma account. It doesn't matter which one, if it's the money market or the checking account. I don't want to touch the payroll account because that money in there is to cover the payroll, which actually was transacted today by that payroll company.
Right. So that was about it was just over $45,000 out of that account, just FYI. But
okay. Well, we're gonna leave that balance, and then we'll have to transfer some more money back into that account for payroll for next month.
And we've got all of those. Those are all approved from last month's motion that you did.
Yes.
So I don't know the requirements for the Community Bank of Colorado money market account, but it's got $803,000 in it right now. So
it has apparently we can write a check on that deal, and there is no transaction delay. It just takes two signatures to write that check. And I assume we have that check ledger somewhere there at the library.
Okay.
Does everybody understand that?
So step one is to transfer $10,000
my check from to
from Community Bank of Colorado Money Market
to Bank of the West. Or actually, it just needs to be a check for $10,000 to made out to the Bank of the West, and then okay. we need a transaction paper that the board authorizes that, and that transaction letter kind of needs to be worded the same as what we did when we opened up the first money market deal at Bank of the West, which was, if you guys look at the minutes for at the last page on August, that there's a the way that should be worded, it just needs to have the 10,000 put in there instead of the 700,000 that we deposited to the Bank of the West. So we can get that typed up tomorrow morning, hopefully after 9 o'clock.
So
it'll have to have a couple people sign it, and then eventually I will have to have Susan and whoever else would be the current acting president, which if it's not Patty Lampen, then it would be Robert, are going to have to sign, have to come in to Bank of the West to sign on that new money market account.
So Karen is out of commission completely tomorrow. So
Susan is not coming in. She's not going to be able to come in.
No, Karen. Karen can't do minutes or any documentation of any movement for us.
Okay, so it still sounds like I can't get this done tomorrow. So we need to, whenever we can get that transaction paper signed, I try to get this done before the end of the month.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is this going to be in the mode of a motion such that I would need to sign it? Is that what you meant, Susan?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the minutes for that.
Is this something we could do with an email vote? Perhaps Alan could write up something that explains what accounts are moving what money.
Well, I think we need that. We need that transaction. I'm trying to get to the minutes here where I can read that.
I might be able to get to that. Do you want me to try and could you send me a copy of that as well?
I was just reading it here in, I know where I'm looking in the wrong place. Come on.
So this was from the
August
24th minutes.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to get to.
We still need Karen to be involved, and she's going to be completely out of commission tomorrow.
Okay, well, maybe I don't know. Maybe I can't. Maybe I just have to try to get this done by, would she be around Friday or Monday?
Let's see, tomorrow's Thursday. I probably could Friday.
We have till Tuesday of next week to try to get this done. So we have Monday and Tuesday of next week or Friday of this week.
I could come over on Friday.
Saturday. This Saturday I have a 12 o'clock meeting. I could do it Saturday morning before when the banks are open, because the banks are gonna. I don't think the financial director person that I need to deal with at the Bank of the West is not going to be there on Saturday. So
didn't Karen just say she could be there on Friday? This is Lori.
I can find out. I won't be able to find out till tomorrow morning if she could be there on Friday.
Yeah, Karen said she could be there on Friday.
Okay, well let me try to see if I can get a deal set up on Friday, and then we'll meet there. Once I get a time for Friday, I'll email people or let people know, or call people to let people know what the time is for Friday. And we'll try to get this done on Friday. Meanwhile, we'll have to meet at the library initially to get the transaction paper typed up and or printed up, and then and get a check and have that so that we can take that both of those papers to the bank. That makes sense?
Right. So can you go through in really slow motion what the three pieces to this?
Okay, so what we're doing is three transaction letters, one to use $10,000 transfer from the community bank checking account, or a money market account, with a check to go to Bank of the West to open a new money market account to get the 2% interest. The second transaction sheet is to transfer $700,000 from the money market account at Community Bank of Colorado to Bank of the West, and we can either do that as a wire transfer. I'd prefer to do it by a check, because then I can hand carry the check and make sure that it gets there, and know that the wire transfers. I haven't done that before, so I'm concerned about how that would happen. And then the third and last transaction paper is to close the account at Bank of the West on the first money market account and transfer that money to the money market account at Community Bank of Colorado.
Say that again.
The last part is to close the first money market account at Bank of the West and transfer and have them issue a check to transfer that money to the Community Bank of Colorado's money market account for the Pines and Plains Library, which will make that balance back up to about $688,000 and some odd dollars. We don't need the amount that it's going to end up, but it's just to close that first money market account that was opened at Bank of the West in August.
Hey, Susan.
Yep.
Would you like to elucidate those three steps for me?
Sure. This is what I've written down. Step one, transfer $10,000 from Community Bank of Colorado money market account to Bank of the West to open a new money market account there. And Karen, I can write this all up for you and email it to you.
Okay, that would be terrific.
And then the second one is to transfer $700,000 from the Community Bank of Colorado money market account to the Bank of the West money market, which is the new one. And then the third step is to close the first Bank of the West money market account and transfer those funds to the Community Bank of Colorado money market account.
Does that
done right now?
That has to be done after the first of the month.
Okay.
And the first two transactions have to be done before the end of this month.
Okay.
And that's the only time frame that we have to, there has to be some time there to, for the banking laws to, for us to comply on opening up new accounts and the money to, time to cure, so to speak. That makes sense to everybody?
Pretty much.
I'm going to hold on just a second. I'm going to have you help me get this down again, because I had to take my splint off my finger because I can't write, it turns out, with that splint on. So so it's a three-part motion. Is that correct?
That is right. There's three transactions. We need three transaction papers. So I don't know if we need to do this as three separate motions, for one for each transaction, or if we can do it in one motion, and the one motion will create three transaction papers.
I would think that would work. Patty, do you agree?
So the motion is to, first transaction is to transfer $10,000 from the Community Bank of Colorado money market account to Bank of the West to open up a new, excuse me?
Before the end of the month.
Yes, before the end of the month. Hopefully we could get this done Friday. And then the second transaction paper would be to transfer $700,000 from the Community Bank of Colorado money market account to the new money market account at Bank of the West. And that needs to happen before the end of the month. And the third and last transaction paper is to, after the first of the month, next month, the first week, we can then close the first money market account that was opened up at Bank of the West and transfer that money, which is essentially $588,000, back to the Community Bank of Colorado money market account to bring that balance back up close to $700,000. It'll be just short. And this way we will get the purpose being to get maximum interest earned at each money market account in two different locations or two different banks. That's the whole purpose of this.
Okay, so that's your motion?
Yes.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So that's going to be one motion with those three elements?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you say aye, Karen?
Thank you. Aye.
Okay, since there's nobody in opposition, the motion passes. And I will need to see a copy of this. So I appreciate it all.
Sorry it was so complicated, guys, but I've been working on this for over a month.
Just a reminder, you need it, and I know Susan probably knows this, but you need bank transfer documents for each one of those transactions for the auditor.
Yes. Yeah. That's those transfer documents. That's what we need to get in have on file or make out Friday morning. I'm hoping we can do that around 9:30.
At the Elizabeth Library.
Yes, that's correct.
Shall we call it 9:30?
Yes.
Is that going to work for you, Karen?
Sure.
Excellent.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on this? The treasurer's report.
Can I ask a question? I would love to see some kind of a flow chart because, you know, it's not sinking into my brain when I'm just getting a verbal discussion of where money is and how much is where. And we talk about the different banks having different money market accounts and what are their purposes. So I'm new to this, so I'll just ask questions.
Okay, what we can do is we can, from the notes that Susan sent me on the current balances, we can then, I have another sheet that says the current interest rates that we get at each account, and we can try to incorporate those two into one piece of paper so that you can understand what we're getting for each one. And then reiterate the transaction that we just approved, the three movements here over the course of the next 2.5-3 weeks to get the best interest rates between the different accounts.
Great. The I only would account really that appreciate we have, that.
Excuse me?
I said, I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. The only account that we have right now that's really not making us much money is the Bank of Oklahoma checking account. And we keep that open to keep our line of communications open there because we, at some time in the future, we're going to need to possibly do some kind of a loan to be able to do whatever expansion construction. That's the reason why we're keeping that open.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Sounds reasonable.
The interest on that is pretty small, Ruth. I think 10 months from now, we'll have enough for a cup of Starbucks.
We're trying to get rid of the $2 that we get charged monthly. But so far we haven't been able to figure out a way to get rid of that $2.
Yeah, I find that interesting when you have that much money in there and they give you this $2 service charge.
Well, it has to do with the other account when we had the loan. It was their processing deal for processing the paperwork on that monthly loan payment. It's to keep that other deal open, which we haven't been able to figure out a way to make that, keep that deal open and not have the service charge. Again, the banks seem to have a racket where they get money in and hardly give any out.
Yes.
Also, Ruth, there's some advantage to keeping that open, even if we are paying that, because that line of credit, where we might be able to go back and make a loan there, it has monetary value to us.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah.
So I was just listening to Alan talk about amounts in different banks, and it's not easy to see when I'm just hearing it. I like to.
Right. Well, it took a while for me to get it straight, And only reason I have it straight is I have it written down in front of me.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to agenda. Any other discussion on the treasurer's report? Not hearing any. I'd like to go over to the approval of the January 25th, 2023 minutes. Has everybody had a chance to see those?
Yeah.
I don't see any need for any corrections. It's hard to remember all the stuff, but I didn't notice any corrections.
I was impressed. Really good.
I would make a motion to accept the minutes as published.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion has passed. Now we need to move on to number six, the director's report. Susan, what do you got for us?
Sure. Thank you. So just a real quick summary of the presentation that I did to County Commission. Robert was there, and we got questions from each of the commissioners. So that was, it was really good to get those questions. The questions were, what is our plan for our saved funds? Another question about what would we do about programming or books in our collection that maybe didn't fit in the community very well. And then the last question was, how do we compare the amount of money that we're spending on our collection to other libraries in the state? So that last one, I'm still getting back to the commissioners on that one, but the other ones I was able to answer in the meeting. I wanted to let you know too about, I apologize again for not preparing statistics. I did not do them this time because of being out for 2 days with the stomach flu. So I apologize for that. Just talk about my next steps for next month. I want to start working on a request for proposal for a needs analysis so that we'll be looking at the community and evaluating what our service area is, the entire county, Elbert County. So I'm going to be working on that document over the next month and get it ready to, I'm trying also to identify some consultants that we can send it out to. I think it's really important that we get a professional needs analysis for our steps coming going forward. And then I wanted to also let you know, a couple different pieces to this. My mom is quite elderly, and she had a health issue about 3 weeks ago that landed her in the hospital. And so she's been moved to long-term care, and her birthday is coming up next Tuesday, so I wanted to make a quick trip to Kansas to see her. However, I'm not sure that I'm well enough to travel yet, so I'm kind of working on that. Originally, I had planned to leave on Friday the 24th and then be back in the office again on Thursday, March 2nd, but just because of my stomach flu, I'm not going to be able to leave. And I'm not sure that I will even go now at all, but I just wanted to run that past you all. So I could, the most I would be gone would be like 4 days away from work, and I would still be working, attending Zoom calls for Payless and all that kind of stuff. And then I wanted to share, Kathy is on vacation, and she gave me her report. Similar, her manager's report, they are getting busier. Mondays have been very busy. Sometimes they have all the computers occupied and all of the tables used, both children and adults. It's fun to be so busy, and they have Monday school. And Mondays, they generally have STEM topics for programming. The kids really enjoy that. On the 6th of February, they made lava lamps, and it was really fun to watch them have fun learning. Their Valentine's Day craft got postponed due to the weather, and it was rescheduled. They're seeing a growth in their story time. They're excited to see new faces and families. Camber is doing a great job as the activity services guide. She's working with the coordinators at our senior luncheon and Good Samaritan Nursing Home to bring books to our seniors through a traveling library. And she will be attending their luncheon twice a month starting in March. Camber is also exploring restarting the traveling library at Big Sandy School. This ended during COVID. It helps to bring different books to the children, to the kids that ride the buses and can't make it to the library. It has been a successful program in the past. Their monthly movie night has been well attended, and they do movie and fresh popcorn. And with keeping this program going, the attendance is growing. She has Dell and Abby cataloging books, and it's apparent that they're purchasing the right books because their new shelves have to be filled with the older new books because the newer new books are checking out. They're going out as fast as they can get them in. And the similar crew seems to be embracing our new time clock system, Paylocity, and they're excited to see what Paylocity can offer. They've taken measures to help with a small part of the food insecurity in our area. If we have kids we know that are at the library all day and not eating or going home for lunch, we have sun butter and jelly sandwich and a small snack to offer them. And they've recently seen a need for this. The local thrift store has been supplying the bread and the snack, and then they purchase the sun butter, sunflower seed butter, and jelly. So it's a minor cost to provide lunch for those in need. And it's also a partner, an opportunity to partner with another organization in the community to partner with a thrift store. So that's Kathy's report. Jen, would you like to talk about what's going on at Kiowa and Elbert?
Sure. Over the past month, I've been working with our new activity services guide, Amala, to kind of get her on board and get her comfortable with taking over programs and stuff. And last Monday, she officially did her first Elizabeth story time by herself. And I think she's pretty excited about it, but it sounded pretty wild in there. I think our Monday story times are really growing. We've had the past, I would say, two or three Mondays, we've been hitting our like 30 person, you know, count for the room. So that's been good. And she started looking into getting 1,000 books for kindergarten started again, before kindergarten started again. So she's been making some like little sheets that as parents and kids read through books, they can color in little dots to count their 1,000 books. And then she's also kind of getting familiar with the summer reading platform and the graphics that we get from the summer reading, bigger consortium, and working on that. So we're going to be meeting with Camber probably in the next couple of weeks to get them started planning summer reading stuff. And then we also are getting our new library service tech, Mindy, up and going. She started since we last spoke. We were finally open on Saturday in Kiowa this past Saturday. And it was amazing because we had, I wrote it down, but I think we had 16 people in, which is a lot for Kiowa. So it's obviously a sign that people missed us on Saturdays. So I'm super excited to be open on Saturdays again. And she got the whole gamut of practice doing faxes and copies and all this stuff. So it was really great. And she's doing good. She's going to be between Elizabeth and Kiowa. So it's nice to have the extra hours to help out there. And then let's see what else. We had a really fun reference question through the Kiowa email. A lady contacted us from this project called Stories Behind the Stars, and she was looking for an obituary of a gentleman that had lived in Kiowa at some point, but he was a prisoner of war in World War II. And the purpose of the project is, let's see, she's working on researching to write stories of the 420 plus fallen in World War II before the 80th anniversary, which is on September 2nd in 2025. And so I did some digging, but I had to contact Lori and say, she's looking for newspaper articles or at least an obituary for this gentleman. And I did not get very far, but Lori did some sleuthing, and then she called in the assistance of Lori, remind me of his name.
The head of the Historical Society.
Yeah, and he found not quite an obituary, but at least a little bit more history. And so I think that satisfied her request. So that was pretty cool to be able to help out with that. But other than that, it's just kind of what's been going on. And Albert's just trucking, just going on as it is. So Sandy's doing well.
Okay. Any more reports?
There's me. There's Lori.
Oh, hi.
Got a brief report on Elizabeth. Circulation continues to climb. We've got more and more people coming in. We are really signing up a lot of library cards, and many, many of them are with young children. It's really fun to listen to the staff at the desk signing up new library cards and getting to know the kids. It's pretty amazing. I'm very proud to be working in the library when I hear them talking like that. Story time, as Jen mentioned, is growing by leaps and bounds. I think we're kind of hoping that the fire department doesn't hear how big it's gotten, because I think we go over 31 people, several Mondays in a row. And so we're going to have to think eventually about adding maybe another morning story time. There's an afternoon story time on Thursday, and it's not as popular. I think it kind of interferes with nap time. I think the morning one works great because moms are out and about and doing errands, and then they can stop at the library, and then they go home and have lunch, and then they collapse. So we can talk about that. We'll talk about it in more detail, though, when we have another activity services guide. Amala is terrific. She's great, but she's half of a activity service guide. I think we need that other 20 hours. We've had one applicant. He sounds very strong in graphics and design. I didn't see any evidence of being able to work with children, though, so that might be interesting. Jen and I are trying to conjure up where we can get more interest in this position. It's perfect for a working mom or somebody who's retired but could work 20 hours a week. But we just don't seem to be getting the word out. So we'll keep trucking, and pretty soon we'll have somebody. As we've had a little bit of strange bad luck for the staff. Lisa Hughes lost her mom on Thursday morning. This had been coming, and so poor Lisa has been going back and forth from Portland, Oregon, she's felt terrible about being gone from the library, but we all agree you need to be there, don't come back, and now she's back, and kind of grateful that the whole thing is over. We're glad to see her. Oddly enough, our one of our tried and true substitutes, who's also a former employee, Georgie Desair, she lost her mom also on Thursday morning. It's weird that that would happen. Georgie's mom was 102, so she lived a good life, but gosh, it was quite something. Meeting room use continues to be strong. One of the newer uses that is really fun is there's a Bible study group, which is great. And I think I've mentioned before that we've got a homeschool group of kids in on, I think it's Wednesdays, I'm going to have to remember. And it's great to have so many folks in the room. Let's see, I can't think of anything else. So I think that's about where we are. Things are just kind of moving along, buying books, checking out books, trying to find a moment to figure out how to do some weeding, because I'm buying and I'm not pulling much off the shelves. The staff is really good at spotting the ones that are yucky. That's a library term, yucky books. And some of them are very yucky, which is, it's a good thing. It means people love them, but they deserve not yucky books. Paylocity is kind of a work in progress for the Elizabeth team. I have a couple of people who are kind of computer resistant, and I think this is going to be a learning curve for them. And I have another person who is very, very suspicious of putting any personal details out into the cyber world. And so we've had to kind of nurse her along and tell her, well, you can do this or you can not get a paycheck. It's pretty easy. But I think it's all going to shake out. And as Jen has pointed out, we really have almost a month to get this sorted out and figured out. It's not until we have to turn in the time cards. I just have to be sorted out. It's something new, and people are generally pretty kind about it. So other than that, kind of life as usual in Elizabeth.
Okay. If there are no more reports, I'd like to move on to the 2022 audit status.
So we came through the on-site meetings with the auditor, and that went really well. And we've been answering follow-up questions, and that's also been going pretty well. I just wanted to send a big shout out to Patty and to Mary Ellen and to Lori and Jen and Kathy. Everybody scrambled, to find documents during this time. So I just really appreciate it. I feel like we haven't seen the final report yet. She's kind of given us some idea of some of the things that she's found, but I don't think it's anything super significant. I think we've changed a lot of the procedures, and I think it's really evident. So I'm excited. I'm excited by that.
Okay. Any more on that? Any questions? Then let's move to the retention pond signage issue, Al.
Okay, I picked up the signs. I need to finish drilling them, and then I'm going to need to meet with you, Robert. I'm hoping sometime next week to install the 6 signs. And I got the signs made for 1/5 of what I originally thought that they were going to cost. Instead of $500, I got it done for $120, and I think it's $122 was the amount that was spent. And all I have to do is get some nuts and bolts to figure out how I'm going to fasten the signs onto the fence. But I'll need some help with one person to hold on the inside while I put some tamper-proof screws on there to hold them in place, so somebody can't swipe our signs. Because I originally was going to wire them on there, but somebody can come along and cut the wires and steal the signs.
Yeah, that's kids do that. I won't mention any names, but I know somebody who has waterbed said, I had a sign over that said flooded at times.
Well, anyway, I will have the tamper-proof screws, and I'll get with you sometime later on next week. We'll try to pick a sunny day, and it'll take us about probably 40 minutes to stick the deals on there. Hopefully, we won't have to tromp through too deep of snow to get it done. We just can't drop anything, because if we drop it in the snow, we'll never find it.
Yep. Okay. Any questions on that? Hearing none. Discussion. On the automated payroll activities. How'd that go?
Yeah. So Lori mentioned that already about Paylocity in her report, but we paid everybody. We processed payroll yesterday for the first time, and yay! And they actually. I haven't checked my bank account yet, but I hear from two other people, Lori and Jen, that their checks did come through. So that's really heartening. So it's been a lot of different meetings. There's a lot of different parts that go into this, and we're going to be starting a new section the second week in March, which is about HR. And so we'll be able to use the system to have a kind of a online discussion with our employees about their performance and tracking their performance issues, and we'll be using the system for some HR things like that. So that's the part coming up next. So we have decided that we're going to do one more month of monthly payroll, because we want to make sure that those last few people actually can get signed on and are able to enter their hours, and that they can learn that before we go to a payroll where we're doing payroll every 2 weeks. So March 22nd next month will be our next payroll, and then after that we'll go to every 2 weeks. That's it.
I want to give a shout out to Patty and to all of the library directors and the staff for showing patience as we went through this process and trusting that it would all work out. And it came together. It sounds like it went really well. So I'm very happy about this, and thank you all. Next. Discussion of Elbert rental option. This was an interesting thing that has kind of come up. As it turns out, some of you may not know, but I live in the town of Elbert, my address is Elbert, I'm not in the town. But a good friend of mine, owned the mall there that had all of the antique stores for many years, and then she sold it. She still has a section of it, and they are looking for a tenant, somebody who would take at least two of the sections on that building. They approached Susan. I think they called you, didn't they, Susan?
He actually stopped by the library first, and then he called me later that day.
Yeah. I stopped by and talked to my friend Deb Sherman, who was in there for so many years, to talk to her about the situation and the new ownership and how that's all going. And then I called that gentleman and talked to him. And what he's looking for is for us to maybe explore renting the two sections of that retail mall kind of thing. It would make the Elbert situation similar to what they were doing in Simla. I talked to him about how much it cost for a single unit, and he was saying $650 a month. So if you double that, and then you add on the expenses that it take to remodel it, there's no way we could ever build anything in that area, and have that kind of, you know, quick gratification of needs, etc. But that may have some of you confused to say, well, what's wrong with us working with the school in Elbert? And the answer to that is a little bit, you know, wavy, because as much as we appreciate our relationship with the school in Elbert, what it does is it makes the clientele have to sort of be beholden to the schedule at the school. And you can't enter a school most places in this country anymore without being clicked in, and you know, they, and because we're trying to protect children. And you also then have and Lori and Jennifer, you'd know this, and Susan obviously more than I would. What is the collection like for the adults at a school run you know, library? Are they able to access all of the things that they would like to, et cetera? So there are lots of different considerations, which Susan, I'm going to impose on you to sort of talk about why that might be or might not be a good idea. But I do see some validity in them coming forward and us at least talking it over. So, Susan?
So one of the considerations in making this change is that our memorandum of understanding with the schools had an addendum to it, and the addendum said that in the event that we move out of the school, that the school keeps the entire collection. So that means that we would have to completely start over if we opened a new library in Elbert. From absolute zero.
Right. Any thoughts on that?
One question. How many square feet does two units, how much square footage does that constitute?
I have that information if you, so one unit is 1,100 square feet. So together it would be 2,200 square feet.
How does that compare square footage wise with the similar library space?
That's a good question, and I don't know. I can find that out and email you guys tomorrow.
I'm going to guess that it's fairly close. I'm not sure, but it seems like to me, having been in both spots, and it's hard to tell when you go into that mall setting what that 1,100 feet looks like, because you would have access from the front of the building all the way to the back, and those shops are sort of cut the building in half, so people keep their merchandise, etc., their antiques and things behind the things, and then they have a display area out front where people come in and see things. So you're really only seeing about 600 square feet or so when you come into them. We'd have that entire space. But I also need to mention that it would take some investment to bring it up to the point where it have the bathroom facilities that you'd want, make sure that it was wired for the internet, et cetera. You know, it takes some exploration, but it's something to what are we, Susan, do you know what we're paying a month with Elbert School?
I don't think we're paying anything for Elbert School.
So there you go.
Yeah, we're not paying rent at all.
Okay.
We do pay rent, obviously, at Simla, but we're not paying rent at Elbert.
Okay. Well, actually, I meant to say Simla.
Okay. Okay. Just off the top of my head, I want to say $1,800 a month.
It's $2,100 and some odd.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I make the check out for each month.
Okay.
Just short of $2,200.
Just first blushes, I feel like, I mean, it's great that this space is available and I can see how to be both accessible to the school or people going to the school because it's nearby, although there's a highway there, and to the community at large. But because there is a space available, does that mean that we have to act on this now? If we feel like we need to move out of the school, isn't that a decision we need to make from an informed position on whether or not that's working for Elbert, if they have additional needs in the community for a separate space?
Those are all great questions, Sheila, and I did talk to the gentleman about, you know, what kind of hurry, you know, is it, are they in a hurry? What does this all entail? Because, you know, up to the point that, you know, Susan and I talked about this, I was under the impression that everything was going along swimmingly in Elbert. But once you get to talking and you see, you know, what the two things are, it makes some sense for this gentleman who owns this building to look for a renter that is stable. And to use his words, I'm not opening Elbert up to a pot shop.
Right. I understand why he would come to us for a space, and I understand why we might consider it. I'm just wondering if we shouldn't be going about considering this question from a different point, like from a long-term standpoint. And I'm sorry, I'm saying we need to do some research, and I don't think that that's a decision we could make in the next month or two.
I agree with you. I mean, he would have to be patient. I don't, but I can tell you also that when those shops open up, they stay open a long time. And he has asked more than one business not to go in there because he really cares about the town. So he says, he's using the right words. He's sitting there saying, I can be very patient with this whole process. So okay. I don't know what exactly in days, months, or hours that is. But I do care about the little town, and obviously I care about the patronage to the libraries, and I have to say to the Elbert School, they've worked with us and done a really fine job. So it's not like you're leaving because, you know, somebody's feelings are hurt or we've not held up our end of the bargain.
I think maybe what we might want to do is at a minimum conduct a poll and a community meeting to get public comment.
Go ahead, Susan.
So this is just perfect because this is exactly what we're looking at doing, but for the whole county as a whole. So we'll be looking at our service points for each library, you know, and for the entire county as a whole. So the needs analysis that we're looking at doing is just going to tell us all of this kind of information.
Okay.
Do you think this guy can afford to let us spend 2 months to come up with what we think it's worth to us, or how much it will cost us to be able to make a functioning library, i.e. hire the people and get the computers and make the whole system there.
Can I?
Go ahead.
I just want to say we did not budget for this in 2023.
Okay.
So if we take on these, if you were, not we, if y'all were to take on these additional expenditures.
I'm trying to say something. Patty?
You're going to need to consider the fact that that money is going to have to come from somewhere else. And that's going to be time and money, right, away from that initial focus of this year. We needed to focus on what's the needs analysis for the county and the community, and where do we need to spend that money that we've been putting back for the enhancement of our building, right? So right. Not saying it's not a thoughtful request or concern, but I just want you guys to be aware we didn't budget for that. And so,
well, I think Patty, what you're talking to is like kind of what Susan was talking about, with that we're getting ready to do that needs analysis, and we should do that needs analysis. And then at that point, you know, maybe this becomes a viable option and it's on the table. But it's maybe good to know that it's there and we can put a pin in it. But, you know.
You should be doing the
every piece of real estate. But
yeah, we I agree. You should be doing the needs analysis to understand where the need is, because not only do you have, now you've got Elbert pulling at you, right? But you've also had some concern about what's happening in the northwest corner. Right. So what we said was we would do a needs analysis to find out what the need of the community was. And that's, in my opinion, how you should base your decisions, is what is the need and where is the greatest need.
Good points. Any other discussion on that? Okay. Discussion of proposed reconsideration policy.
So this has come up nationally, and it's also come up as recommendations from other Colorado public library directors, that we take a look at our reconsideration policy. And this is kind of just a Band-Aid for us. So this is the original here, and I hope you all got it in the email that I sent out. So basically what I'm doing in the proposed revision is just to add, it could be, it's not just like a book or a DVD or a recording. It could also be a display, a library program, or even the usage of the meeting room. So we just need to cover all of our bases with that. And then I'm also updating it to say, and that we want it to start as a conversation. And most of the time when you talk with somebody about a challenge to the collection or to something, you can resolve it just by listening and by conversation. But what I want to do is to not take it to a formal reconsideration unless the people that are complaining are residents or property owners within Elbert County who hold library cards. So those are the big changes that I'm making in the policy. So the changes are, again, I'm expanding that the reconsideration, it's library resources, not just collection items. What did we call it before? Yeah, because we called it before, it was the reconsideration of library materials, and now it's the reconsideration of library resources. And we're expanding it to be more than just books. We're expanding it to be display, library program, or usage of the meeting room. And then we're limiting the people who can complain about it to people who are within our service area, so residents or property owners within Elbert County who hold library cards. So those are the proposed changes. This is the original form that we had. And if you see in the middle, it's just like books, magazines, newspapers, pamphlet, book on tape, DVD, those sorts of things. And then what I'm changing the form to show, this is, the forms are from the American Library Association website. So the resources, the resource on which you're commenting, it could be book, magazine, movie, but it could also be a program, it could be a display, a meeting room, a digital resource, any of those kinds of things. And then we've also, I've changed the questions that we're asking on the forum a little bit too. Just what brought it to your attention? Have you examined the entire resource? What concerns you about it? Are there resources that you suggest? And what action are you requesting the district to consider? And the original form, I'll just show you those questions on here. What do you find objectionable and or offensive about this item? Please give specific examples. Have you read, listened, or viewed the item in its entirety? If not, what pages or sections have you read or listened or viewed? Do you see any value in the use of this item? Have you read any critical reviews of this item? Do you recommend that the library reclassify this item or remove it? In place of this item, would you care to recommend other materials? So these questions on the old form take us kind of in a direction that we don't really want to go into. And the new form broadens the scope a little bit, makes it a little bit more, I guess they're not leading is what the, but they're, I actually just took this form directly from the American Library Association website. So
I have a question on the, people who are allowed to file one of these. You mentioned residents and property owners who have library cards.
Right.
So it's residents who have library cards or property owners who have library cards.
Right.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that people who are, what they've seen nationwide is that they'll have folks from outside coming in and, you know, don't even have a foothold in the county in, you know, or in, you know, in the community when they're complaining about items. So we want to make sure that, you know, that these people are really people who we serve.
That have some investment in the county.
Exactly. Exactly.
Any questions about that? Any opposition to that notion?
You're going to kill me, Susan, because we've talked about this, but I think there's a good question there. What if you're an apartment dweller? We've got new apartments going in just down the street.
You're a resident. So, you're a resident.
So it's an or and not an and.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Then that'd work. Be perfect.
Yep.
Okay. Well, if there's no further discussion, Susan, I think you and I should probably talk about this a little bit more. And if we come up with anything of any substance, share it with everybody at our earliest chance. Okay, back to the agenda then. The Roberts Rule Review, number 12, I'm sorry I made Sheila's heart palpitate a little bit there thinking we were going to go into a 2-hour.
We're going to read the book.
Now, General Robert would not, no. All I was saying is, if I were there tonight, if we were all going to be there, I just ran off some cheat sheets. I went over about 5 or 6 of them, made copies, stapled them together, and I thought I'd just pass them out to the board members so that we could, as much for me, the incoming president, to make sure that I'm not screwing up. So at any rate, next meeting or at, I'll try and send them to you via email, but get a copy of it and then it's yours to fold into an airplane or put into your notebook. I'll be having a if you need one. Public comment.
I have a public comment.
Okay.
I was trying to follow the Robert's Rules of Order and only speak during public comment since I'm no longer a board member. Yeah. But I wanted to just say a few things. One, I wanted to say that on the ASG, I noticed that Lori's Elizabeth Library has the ASG posting, and I saw that today on Facebook, so I thought that was great. And maybe you might, I don't know where you might want to put it out to see if there's any retired teachers in the area that might be interested in doing something like that. So I don't know maybe where you would go to find those, but that's what I thought when I saw that. I thought, oh, that'd be great for maybe a retired teacher.
Yeah.
I wanted to say a big thank you to Susan and Mary Ellen and to the staff who've been working the whole Paylocity thing. It was a lot of work. I know you've been doing, having a lot of meetings and doing things that we don't, you know, that the board didn't see. And so I just wanted to make sure that I gave you a big thank you before leaving, because that was a big deal. And it's a lot of work. And I know it's change is hard, but it's going to be so much better from an internal control perspective. And I'm really excited that you were able to have your first paycheck ran this month. So that's great. And then on the 22 audit status, I did get a note from Lori, the auditor, when I was providing back some information. And I just wanted to let everybody know that she was really wowed in comparison to our audit last year to where we were this year in terms of our internal controls and how much better they were. So she was really impressed with that. So that goes a lot to Alan. Alan, you've been doing, you know, that double checking and doing your job as the treasurer. So I just wanted to give you an attaboy for that. And I wanted to let everybody know how well, you know, how well we had done, because I know it was hard last year for us. And then I think that's it. I just wanted to say this will probably be the last board meeting I attend. In March, we'll be packing up, and we have a lot of things we're trying to get done in March, and my last day of work is March 31st, and reason why I was late to hear the meeting today is because I was on the phone trying to schedule when the movers were going to come and pick up our stuff. So anyway, I wanted to say that it has been wonderful working with all of you. I know last year we had a hard year, but we came through it, and I feel like I've left it better than when I got it. And I hope that going forward, that you guys can continue to move forward with the change that we talked about. I think it's only going to be better for the community and the taxpayers as a whole. I'm so thankful for Susan. I think we have a really good director for the library, and she's going to do a great job. And I'm so glad that now the library managers can go back and be library managers and do what they love. So. And to all the board members, you know, I made friends. I always say that Robert and I have this joke that he's the brother from another mother. And so I've made a lot of friends in this community, and it's going to be sad to go. But I'm looking forward to retirement, and I'm looking forward to the beautiful green lushness of Washington and the Puget Sound. So I hope you know that if you ever come my direction, you will be so welcomed, and we have a place for you. So.
I want to thank you, Patty, for all your help and for all your work. We couldn't have made it without you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you all. It was a team effort. It took all of us, and we got it done, and I'm just so proud to be a part of this group.
You're the best, sis.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wish you the best, Patty.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other business items from board members? Seeing none.
Wait, there she is. Yeah, it's I'm not a board member, but we had another item of business that we wanted to talk about, the senior center.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So if you're I'm gonna bring up a picture for y'all to look at, and then Lori actually can relate what has happened. She stumbled on this. I'll let you go ahead and tell what happened.
There was a posting in the Nextdoor app a couple of weeks ago. I followed the Nextdoor app for Elbert County just so I can see what people are talking about and concerned about. And there was the invitation for open house to talk about the senior center. And I can remember Robert and Alan mentioning that there had been something said about a senior center. And I thought, besides, I haven't been out and about in the community, at least for the last year, very much. So I attended on Saturday. And some background, the town had a study done by four CU graduate students, graduate school of planning and architecture. They got this study paid for through the State Department of Local Affairs. I think the town paid about $3,000, and then the balance of a $50,000 price tag was paid by DOLA. So I went in and was astonished because they had building site plans and building renderings and floor plans posted all around the room. And I thought, well, this has gone further than I thought it had gone. And so I started looking at the site plans and realized it was our site. I was gobsmacked. I couldn't believe it. If you look at this one that Susan has put up, there's the library, and then we're surrounded by the senior center. That's pickleball courts behind us, and this is one of three plans. I at first thought it was four, but it's three plans. And this one is the most. That first one was the most impactful for the library, but still, I mean, I was amazed and shocked. And at that point, I texted Susan and said, is there something I don't know here? And she said, no. And so I just sat very quietly with steam coming out of my ears. And the students put on their presentation, which is now, it's posted on the town website if you want to see. It's like 16 pages. And it's beautiful. What they did was come up with some ideas of what the building a senior center and site could look like. And it was not really made clear until I started asking questions that they don't have a site. And there were 30 to 40 people attending. Some were familiar library patrons. One was a former library board member. That was wonderful to get to meet him. It's lovely what they did, but man, I was amazed. I forewarned the Elizabeth staff that if anybody asks, no, we haven't sold our site for the senior center. I gave my business card, my library business card, to the student's advisor, who's an architect from Denver, and to the town administrator, who's Patrick Davidson. And the student advisor had the grace to be embarrassed, because I think he immediately realized why I was handing him my business card. Mr. Davidson, not so much, but in both cases, I said, we need to get together and come to the library and so on and so forth. This whole thing was put together without anybody knowing about our empty warehouse, not to mention didn't know about whether they could use our site. But some of the if it's hard to see on the screen, but some of the uses in the senior center, senior slash community center, are things that we've been thinking and talking about for the back of the library. And so are we going to build the same thing twice? I don't know. It was it was exciting. And I haven't followed up. I haven't talked to Patrick Davidson. I think this is above my management level now. I think this needs to be with people who are thinking about the whole library district and not just Elizabeth. But it was one of the oddest moments in a public meeting I've ever had. When you go and it'd be like going to a funeral and discovering that you were the person who was being celebrated. I mean, it was very weird.
Well, it looks like they took library land and they took the what's the building next door?
Well, this is the site to the west. So if you think about west of the library before you get down to the to Gold Creek, I'm gesturing with my hands, which doesn't help much. But if you consider Big R is to
behind
the south.
The library.
Yeah, but, behind the library.
Yeah.
So there's the retention pond. Okay.
This one's behind the library, but the other two are completely on our site.
So are they saying they want to buy? They're going to buy this our property, and or they're going to try to take us over by, say, eminent domain or whatever you call that for an adverse.
I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're thinking, and I felt sorry for the students because they've worked very hard on this and they came up with a really beautiful presentation. But I asked twice in different language, had they done a needs assessment? And it came down to not really. I had thought that that's what the study was going to be, was, you know, that they were going to do for a senior center what we're planning on doing for a library. And the answer was, no, we did a survey and 240 people answered. And
I think it actually is fairly well established that they do have some senior needs. I don't know if it's large enough for a full-on senior center. I wouldn't know that, but definitely they've been using the American Legion space for their lunches, and they're out of space. They need more space than that.
But well, they got bumped out of Frontier High School. They had their senior events in Frontier High School, and when the town decommissioned the high school and put it up for sale, then luckily the VFW was able to take them. But there's no question that there's a need, and what I was prepared for was to argue to people who say, we don't need any darn senior center, you know, because some of the comments on Nextdoor were just unbelievable. My favorite one was, well, why not let the people who use the senior center pay for it? And I think, geez, don't you have a mother or a grandmother? What's the matter with you? I mean, it was stupid. It's just stupid. But
well,
anyway.
It's like people who don't want to pay for schools because they don't have kids.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly what it was. It's just the other end of the spectrum. Well, but that wasn't what this was. What this was, a presentation of what they thought the buildings would look like and what the site would look like. And finally, a former town councilman raised his hand and said, don't you think maybe you're getting the cart before the horse? And I'm nodding frantically at the other end of the room. So it's weird. I didn't want to speak against it because, of course, we need a senior center. On our site, no, not so much. Or maybe we do, but we're not going to give it to them. And the thing I was concerned about...
They haven't even talked to anybody about it. So to make assumptions about that where they're going to put it is the problem.
You got it exactly. And it was interesting. I walked out of the meeting with a lady who was there with her mom, who clearly would appreciate having a senior center. And she said, well, she says, you're from the library. I said, yes. And she said, well, that's publicly owned space, isn't it? And I said, well, yes, it's owned by the library. And she said, but it's publicly owned. And I said, not the county and not the town. It's owned by the library district. So the impression was, is that, you know, that another public use could just go on this because it's already public, without understanding that it's something that we own. And actually, as I think we've talked about in the past, it's an asset because we have so much more ground than right now we take up. So I don't think they're not in any way able to do anything, I don't think, but this is posted on the front page of the town site. They're having another meeting tonight, and I think 30 people walked out of the room thinking, yeah, maybe they're going to put this on the library site. And so I had to quick tell the Elizabeth desk staff, no, we're not giving up the library site. This is just something preliminary. So it was an exciting Saturday for me.
I'd like to add something, Lori. Alan and I, in the past, have talked to the manager for the town of Elizabeth. And I can't, we were sworn to secrecy on a couple things, but suffice it to say, the town manager knows that our property goes out to the street, which on your map there is on the, you can see the retention pond there. I don't know if you've seen my thing. Yeah, that's the retention pond. There is a property line right there, and then there will be a street right there. And it was our understanding, and Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, but the street there that divides us and Big R goes down and then we'll hit that property line, there'll be a street there. And the senior citizen actually, on things that we saw, showed that there was property being set aside for a senior citizen in their plans.
That's correct. And it was in that development that would be immediately to the west of our lot and the Big R lot. There's a strip of land there that has a proposed development, which seems to, I won't say it's stalled out, but it doesn't seem to be moving forward at this point in time.
Well, they're also pre-COVID, this site that's just to the west of the library, so it's across the street from Big R. It's just to the west of the library and goes down almost to where the new development is going in. That was rezoned. And I went to that planning commission meeting about the rezoning. Again, it was one of those things where by law, they're supposed to notify everybody within 500 feet. And we didn't get any notification. And the explanation was, well, we didn't have your new address. The library moved 10 years ago, I think. But anyway, and I didn't follow it up, and then COVID happened and nobody was building anything during 2020. So I don't know what happened. The for sale sign is on Highway 86. You see it as you're coming east toward the library, and it's a white sign with red lettering. I talked to the local broker because he called me first, and then I did some research, and the owner is in Albuquerque. It's the guy that owns the cab company in Albuquerque. And so I don't know what happened with that, but boy, I can see some real serendipity between having the library and the senior center close together, especially since they're talking about this should be a community senior center. And one of our patrons got up and said, you know, I'm a homeschooler and we have lots of needs for children, and it would be great if we had this kind of meeting space for children. And I'm sitting on my hands thinking, oh, if only you knew what the back of the library looks like. It was a very strange meeting. And I think we need to touch base with the town manager and then see what happens.
The thing is, a senior center or any kind of a facility that has federal backing or any whatever, we, the library district, we cannot partner in that entity. There's some regulations there that prevent us from being able to partner with that group, and so it's a problem in that it becomes very, very difficult to portion out or deed over part of our library building and give it or sell it to another entity, because our building is not a condo per se. It's a standalone building. Basically, it doesn't have separate ownerships for different areas of the building. It's not zoned for that.
Yeah.
Oh, at any rate, that's as clear as mud. I do appreciate, Laurie, you going to that and finding out what you did. We are going to talk to the town manager again and try and straighten it out. I think it's probably an innocent mistake.
Yes.
They have, you know, and having worked for big school districts or, you know, in this case, a university, sometimes those kind of details get away and they think they're doing what they're supposed to. So you can't really get upset with the kids. They did.
No. And they did exactly. And they put on a very nice presentation. They did a great job. I think the problem was further up the food chain, and it might have had to do with what Department of Local Affairs was willing to pay for. They need a needs assessment. And there may be an opportunity there. Maybe, you know, we can partner on a needs assessment, because a good one will cost some money. But the cart was definitely well before the horse.
Well, and the final word on this from me, dealing with the town of Elizabeth has been a kind of an interesting ride. Sometimes it feels like they know what they're doing, and unfortunately a good portion of the time, but they're growing. So I mean, they need some chances to make some mistakes too. So at any rate, thanks everybody that showed some concern, and especially that went. Any other questions? If there are no more, then I would ask for somebody to make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Do we have, is there anybody on this meeting that is the public that wants to make a public comment before we adjourn? Or have we passed that point?
No, we could take some, but the only person that was on was Wendy Walp, I think, and she, I think, dropped off.
Patty, so. I was public.
Well, yeah, but you're my sister.
I would make a motion then that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Having a first and a second, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you, guys.
Aye.
Thanks. Bye, all.
Thank you.
Great
all.
Job, Rob, Daddy.
My promise to you all is we're going to try and get these meetings shorter and shorter.